Welcome back to Frog Fever, a Big 12 basketball podcast brought to you by KillerFrogs.com. My name is Davis Wilson. With me, as always, is Nick Germani. And Nick, we finally have a bracket. We have a real bracket. It's Sunday. The bracket was revealed probably an hour and a half ago. So this is a fresh reaction. We made it.
This is March.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm salivating over looking at this bracket right now. TCU has made it after all the doubters, Big 12 tournament, and maybe that win over Oklahoma was a little bit more important than we might have happened because we saw what happened there. But
absolutely, no,
I'm super excited. Three straight tourneys is insane. This is March, best time of the year. I just came from the selection show. It was all good vibes there. Yeah, I'm ready to get into it.
Yeah, so we have our bracket. We have TCU's matchup. We have all the Big 12 matchups. But before we get into that, we should talk a little bit about the Big 12 championship, Big 12 tournament that finished up, I guess it was yesterday, in Kansas City. Initial reactions, Iowa State looked really good. I'm not super worried about Houston. I think that was a bad loss, but they're still very good. I think it tells you more about Iowa State. But what are your thoughts on the way that tournament ended up, and how, you know, how shocking was that 30-point loss for you?
For sure. We were both in Kansas City, so got to see it firsthand, which was exciting.
Mm-hmm.
My first reaction to the tournament was it was all pretty chalk for the most part. It was a little bit underwhelming in terms of insane games. Like, it was a lot of blowouts and stuff like that. And what I took from it is that home court advantage matters there. I mean, those Iowa State fans were packed that house, and it was Hilton South there. Mm-hmm. And Iowa State looked dominant. You know, there were even arguments that they should have been a one seed knocking out North Carolina just because of their momentum going into it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they look tough. Houston looked great too. I think Juwan Roberts, you know, that ankle, he may not be 100%. He hurt that in the Tech game, which is kind of scary. But yeah, we saw Houston's weaknesses and we saw their strengths. They just dominated TCU and Tech mm-hmm. on their way to the final with the defense and frustration. But they show their offense can go south, and when they're not getting stops on defense, it can be bad for them. And Iowa State was hitting shots that day. So props to them. They were amazing all year. And I think that gives them a lot more optimism going into the tournament because we didn't know what they would be away from home. You know, I thought they would be a little more dependent on home. I guess it's a little bit of a gray area because when it wasn't home, as I said, like, their fans made it seem like home. So I'm interested to see what it's going to look like on a real neutral site. But props to them. Yeah, like I said, Kansas showed, I think, another big takeaway that injuries are going to affect them. Like, they got blown out by Cincy. Mm-hmm. K-State made a little run there. It was a Big 12 tournament's always fun. I don't think this one was anything spectacular with games or anything, but it was great to be out there and just see what it was all about because that was my first time in KC.
Yeah, they do a good job. That tournament's a lot of fun. And like the Iowa State, Kansas State fans were packing that thing out. So, but yeah, Iowa State beats Houston 69-41, just a complete domination. And they finished fifth in KenPom, which is pretty crazy. The craziest thing for me as I'm looking here on KenPom is they now have the number one defense in college basketball. They overtook Houston. Houston's number two now, which is really crazy to me because Houston was number one, I think, literally every game until the last one. So Iowa State is for real, and that's a team that is going to – I mean, anybody who has to play that team in this NCAA tournament is just – going to be tough.
Yeah, holding a team to 41 in a college basketball game is insane, and especially against what – at that point was the number one team in the country, and they were kind of firing on all cylinders. Shed was getting that offense going, but everyone just went cold for Houston. That's, I think it's credit to the fans and the Iowa State defense because they can really suffocate a team when they're on point, and that's exactly what happened. So there's a, I think, taken out of the tourney, I think you have to trust Iowa State more than Houston at this point, just because they're, you know, you just got to get hot at the right time, and right now Iowa State is hot at the right time for the Big 12, and there's a real argument that they're one of the most fierce teams, and I think that puts them in the Natty conversation for sure. I think you
Oh,
have to
yeah.
acknowledge that because they just won the best conference in the country, and they did it pretty emphatically. So yeah, definitely a win for the Cyclones. They're the big winner out of that thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just a really, really solid, strong finish to the season for them, and they're gonna take all that momentum with them. But looking at this bracket now, 8 Big 12 teams make the tournament. That's tied for the most in the country with the SEC.
Yeah.
What do you want to get into here first? Because we can look at some of these matchups. We can look at, you know, maybe some snubs. What do you want to get into here?
Yeah, I think it just acknowledges that TCU, or not TCU, the whole Big 12 is the best conference in the nation. Yes, they were tied with the SEC, but I think the thing that's different is a lot of these teams are probably more dangerous than the SEC teams. Like, I think you'd have your Houston, your Iowa State as Natty contenders, your Baylor's up there too. When the SEC only had, like, Tennessee, maybe Kentucky, you know what I mean? Maybe Auburn, but they're it's definitely a kudos to the Big 12. I think Jamie Dixon was talking about it in the press conference how Big 12 has been called out for how the way they scheduled games, but it really didn't affect them. And that's just what people say when you're at the top, like, when that's just a sign that you're winning. That it was a super interesting clip that he was kind of like flexing almost to the press that, you know, they were right in that it does help you long-term scheduling a weaker non-conference and kind of playing the rankings game, because the committee does take into account nets and KenPoms and all these different types of things. So I think it shows that maybe TCU will have a similar non-con next year, because it didn't really in other Big 12 teams. But I think the big story here, and we were kind of talking about it recently, I think you even brought it up a couple of weeks ago, is how Oklahoma was fading late, and it really became a 50-50 shot, I think. And they were probably, I think they're the last team out, or the first team out. And yeah, just what a roller coaster ride for them, being number 9 in the country coming into the conference that first week of the year with the only loss to UNC and just kind of blowing it late. And it makes you think, as a TCU fan, as with such a good week for bid stealers in college basketball, that if they would have blown that game to OU, we'd be in the spot they were in. So that just showed how big that was. And we can talk about more of a TCU standpoint, but OU being left out is probably the story of the Selection Sunday for me, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just they've just kind of been, they've been, like you said, fading for probably about a month now. More than that, they've just kind of been slowly, gradually kind of falling off. And yeah, we expressed our concerns about them kind of, I mean, because for a long time, even when they were losing, the bracketologies had them in, you know, they weren't even really in the bubble, on the bubble. So we didn't even really talk about them as a bubble team, at all. And then all of a sudden they are, you know, 8-10. They finished 8-10 in the Big 12, which, you know, I think the kind of spot you want to be is 9-9. That's kind of where, you know, if you get there, you feel like you're going to be in. So 8-10, all of a sudden you're like, okay, they got to go win one or two games in this Big 12 tournament. They're not healthy. They don't have their guys. Although it was weird because Porter Moser, after the game, was talking about how the guys were going to be ready this week. So I don't know if he, you know, I don't want to say he was resting those guys, anticipating a Big 12 or an NCAA tournament berth. But It was weird. I mean, they didn't have their guys, and TCU beat them. It was. We'll get into this game later, but they didn't take care of business down the stretch. They lost, twice to Texas. The last game of the season was a blowout loss to Texas. It's just they lost. I guess if you include that TCU game, they lost four out of their last five games, and that's just not going to get it done. And I feel for them because they were probably in 24 hours ago, maybe a little more than 24 hours ago. You'd say they're in, and yesterday was a crazy day of bid stealers, and it was a really rough day for the bubble. And so, teams like TCU are really fortunate that they were able to get a win in the conference tournament, I think.
Yeah, it's definitely it was a roller coaster week and one of emotion for Oklahoma. Like you come in feeling pretty confident, you're in the Big 12 tourney. All of a sudden, you kind of knew Hughley and Suarez were out, but then McCollum gets out. And yeah, even at the start of the week, the Porter Moser, DePaul rumors. I mean, he shut that those down like the day after we recorded the pod. So that became nothing, and then that job got taken. So, and then yeah, you have to think in that situation that Moser felt that OU was safe when they played TCU, because if you're playing with stuff on the line, you're putting your players out there if they are able to play at all. Yeah, having McCollum, Hughley, and Suarez, three of your best players on your team out in the Big 12 tournament game, just shows that, oh, like, we don't really need this one. We could stay in, let's just get these guys healthy when it matters. But it turns out when not knowing what the bid stealers are yet, you better feel as safe as possible. And even TCU got a little bit of scare when Eamon went down there for a second. We thought it might have been worse than possible. Thank God he's good. But yeah, notes taken for next year, I think, is you got to finish 500 to make the tourney. That was cut black and white. You finish 500, you're in. You don't, you're out. Non-conference schedule doesn't matter as much as people thought it did, and you can play the system. And I think that will continue to happen with a lot of the Big 12 teams in non-conference. And you better never feel safe when it comes down to it. So yeah, a lot of lessons learned here, and it's interesting to see how the committee works year after year, because what they value. There's a lot of new analytics coming about, but it's interesting because OU got, I don't think they got screwed because they weren't great good late, and I don't even think they deserve to be in. Like, I agree with the committee's decision, but it shows how much you value metrics, I think, because they had a bad KenPom and they had a bad net, and that matters when it comes down to it, not just games and not just conferences and not just eye test. People look into these metrics, especially nowadays, and you better make sure that you plan to be successful when it comes down to it.
Yeah, it was like you said, we were there, and I got a chance to listen to Porter Moser after the game, and I mean, his attitude was like, it's not even a question, we're in. Like, he didn't really even entertain the possibility of them being on the bubble. He was extremely confident. He said, the team is going to be fully healthy for the first time in a long time next week when we play. And he, it's just the way he spoke. I mean, they 100% thought they were going to be in regardless of what happened. And, in college basketball, conference tournament season, anything can happen, and I think Oklahoma learned that. And yeah, it's just I you know and who knows how severe those injuries that Hughley and McCollum had, but obviously you want to have those guys out there in what ultimately ended up being the biggest game of their entire season. They weren't out there, and TCU beat them. So yeah, they just didn't finish well, and you can't really get by like that. And I feel, I feel for those players and the coaches, because they clearly 100% expected to be in regardless of losing to TCU, and now they're not in. And I agree with you. I don't think they really deserve to be in. We talked about that a long time ago, that maybe Oklahoma wasn't as good as we were all thinking, and it ended up being the case. They just didn't have enough to get it done.
Yeah, I think recency matters to the committee a lot too. You know, who's hot at the right time and who's not. I was talking to our SID about that, and they were like, yeah, like I believe that they take that into consideration. So they're of their last 7 games or 8 games, if you include the TCU game, they were 2-6 with only wins to Oklahoma State and Cincinnati at home. So when you're fading that bad going downhill, like no one wants to see you play because you know you're a much different team than you were at the start of the year when you started out 10-0 or whatever it was like that. So yeah, playing your best ball at the right time matters, and TCU probably took a hit in this, like if they would have lost that game because they hadn't been playing their best ball yet too. So it was like, if TCU didn't win that game, that would be, it would be the most nervous like 3 days of the year. And even when they won that game, they're still on Lenardi's bubble. A lot of people were getting on Lenardi this past week. You know, it's fun getting pissed at the bracketologist looking at it, but this is the only thing that matters. And yeah, so very interesting things to take away from the bracket, and you've got to make note for what they look for, especially going into future seasons.
Yeah. Let's get into this bracket a little bit. Let's kind of take a look at it, dissect it a bit. So eight Big 12 teams get in. Let's see if I can remember off the top of my head. Houston's a one seed. Iowa State's a two. Baylor's a three. What else? We have Texas Tech is a six. BYU's a six,
yeah.
I believe.
Kansas is a four.
A four.
And then we're a nine.
And Texas is a seven. I think that's all of them. I think we covered.
Yeah.
So looking at these matchups, and I know, you know, obviously this bracket is fresh off the printer.
Yeah.
But do you have any matchups that are intriguing to you, or any of these teams on upset watch, or you know, maybe which of these teams do you think has the best chance at exploiting the bracket and making a bit of a run? Do you have any of those observations?
Yeah, there's a couple teams that are interested. There's a couple matches that I'm super interested in. Obviously the TCU one, just because we're a TCU podcast. But two of them big to me, because Texas Tech, NC State, I think is big. You know, NC State's on this crazy hot run, and Texas playing good ball too. But
they're probably America's team right now, NC State.
Yeah, I mean DJ Burns. Yeah, yep. DJ Horn too. They got the DJ that were there. But yeah, just it's interesting with these hot teams that aren't good in the regular season but are just playing insane right now. Texas Tech and BYU are running into two of those. Duquesne won the A-10. You know, Dan Brud, you know, LeBron's old high school coach is balling over there. But yeah, so looking at Tech and NC State, how good NC State is right now, if they can carry it over, because Tech, they showed that in the Big 12 tournament, I didn't think they're going to beat BYU that game, but they handled them pretty easily. So that game's big, and then the BYU Duquesne game is also big, and then whoever comes out of the Texas Colorado State, maybe, or Virginia, whoever wins that playing game is big. And then I'm interested to see what Kansas is going to look like, because it sounds like McCullough and Dickinson are going to play in the NCAA tournament, but they could be rusty. So I don't know much about Samford, but if they can, you know, get hot, Kansas could be vulnerable too. But the two big games are the two six seeds that I'm looking at, Tech and BYU, because they're playing two hot teams who just won their conference.
Yeah, I think so. Samford, I don't know a ton about him. I read a little bit. I think they shoot a lot of threes and, you know, have a pretty exciting offense. And the thing about Kansas is, even when they're healthy, they have their problems. And we've talked about their problems all year. Obviously, you want to have those two guys, McCullough and Dickinson, because it does raise their ceiling exponentially. They immediately become one of the most dangerous teams in the country. But they have those problems, and I'm really interested to see, you know, that 4-13 matchup. There's usually a 13-4 upset, usually some 5-12 upsets. I don't think there's any 5-seed Big 12 teams though, but that, you know, that 4-13 line, things can happen. And then I will mention this, right above them in the bracket is McNeese State with the Sade Wells. So if Sade can take care of Gonzaga, Kansas might be having nightmares again about Jahadae Wells, and you know, remembering what he did to them for TCU and Lawrence last year. So that's something to watch. The thing I'm pretty interested in Baylor at the three in the West region, because the West, in my opinion, looks to be really gettable. Like North Carolina is a one seed there, and I don't think they're a one seed. It's interesting because obviously they've been really good all year, but they kind of fade away late. They're 9 in KenPom. And then Arizona's there at the two, which Arizona's good. But I think Baylor definitely has a chance to come out of the West. They have Colgate first, and then they'd get New Mexico or Clemson. And both those teams, you know, TCU fans are familiar with Clemson, and New Mexico's been an exciting team all year. But I think that Baylor could take advantage of kind of what feels to me like a weaker region. So that's something to watch as well. And then obviously we don't know a ton about what's going to happen with Texas, because we don't have their matchup, but that's a team that could make a run as well. So there's a lot of fun things to look at in this bracket. I think, I mean, we finally made it. It's here. We just have a bracket to look at. It's awesome.
Yeah, no, that Baylor, I like that you brought up that Baylor region, because of the top 10 teams there, who none of them won their conference tournament outside of St. Mary's. Shout out to the Gales. But Baylor, Baylor has a path. I think New Mexico is very capable of beating Clemson in that first region, because they're hot right now, one of the Mountain West. But yeah, that's a fun game, and we know Baylor can get hot and be as good as any team in the nation when they're on point. They weren't in the NCAA tournament when they played Iowa State. Like, their offense just went flat, and that Iowa State defense beat them up, to put it frank. But yeah, I mean, tons of good matchups, and obviously, you know, we're not mentioning the top seeds because their first round matches aren't great. But yeah, I mean, obviously, Houston just lost, but Houston's Houston. Like, they're gonna make a good run, and if they get like a Duke at the four in the Elite Eight, or even like a Nebraska and A&M round two, those guys are insanely hot right now. So, I mean, Houston and Iowa State later down the road are obviously the one. It's just, you can talk about any matchup and get excited because it's March, and just looking at these teams and looking at matches and thinking about the moments. It's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome. We can kind of look at the TCU side of things in a second, but do you have a team based on where they were put, based on, you know, who their potential matchups are? Do you have a team that you like the most to make a, like a Final Four run, you know, Houston, Iowa State, Baylor, Kansas? Do you have a, which of those, I guess, would be your favorite to get there?
Yeah, I think, God, it's so tough. I mean, obviously you'd say like Houston, just because they're one seed, and I think you know, they could go on, but like in terms of sleeper teams,
Give me a sleeper.
God, I think if BYU could get hot, because I think they're gonna beat Duquesne,
they could beat
handedly, Illinois. Yeah, and then Illinois too, and you have. God, I don't even have the thing pulled up. But yeah, and then I guess Iowa State's in that region too, so it's so tough. But I just know that BYU team can get hot, and I think Duquesne is kind of a favorable matchup for them. I know they're hot, like I said before, like it's super, every game's interesting. But yeah, I think they'll take care of that. Illinois, that too. But I mean, Tech, yeah, that sixth spot, they have a path. Iowa State, like, at that two line, I think they have a pretty favorable, like, I think Wazoo or Drake both aren't like crazy talented, so I think they'll be able to take care of that in the second round and end up playing maybe BYU, maybe in Illinois, something like that. But yeah, there's a lot of teams you could talk yourself into, but if I had to pick one, maybe BYU's that pick.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that, and I like the right on the other side, the Texas Tech, like you said. If they can get past NC State, which, you know, who knows, because NC State is arguably the hottest team in the country right now. They have a ton of momentum. they get either Kentucky or Oakland, and I think they could absolutely beat Kentucky just the way that Kentucky's
Yeah,
put together.
Kentucky's so hit or miss.
You never really know with Kentucky. Yeah, so
Also,
Tech
we'll get
could
into it too, but I think TC like Homer as hell, but I think if obviously you have to go through Purdue, but I think if they do somehow pull that off, I think there's a path there and kind of a weaker section of the spot.
Yeah, for sure. We'll make some predictions later on in the episode. I guess if you don't have anything else, just generally in the Big 12, we can take a quick break and get a little more specific with TCU stuff.
Yeah, let's do it.
That work for you?
Yeah.
All right, we'll be back in a sec. Okay, we're back. We are going to talk some TCU. The bracket, the NCAA bracket came out probably 2 hours ago. TCU is a 9 seed playing against Utah State, an 8 seed. We'll get into that in a second. But first, let's just do a very brief recap of the Big 12 tournament because they played 2 games, went 1-1. And that Oklahoma win, as we said a few minutes ago, ended up being a much bigger win than it seemed like when it happened, right?
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, that game got us into the tournament. And when you look more specifically at that game, when you saw McCollum and Hoogland Suarez were out and the Porter Moser rumor, I know he shut him down the day before, but you still have that kind of distraction going on. I personally felt pretty good about this game. And they came out good. The switch to Chuck in the starting lineup was fire. He was Chucko marching it up, slinging it from all ends, getting us off to a hot start. E-Man was a dog. Like he said it was gonna be a dog fight. He made it a dog fight. He put up one of his best games of the season, 26 on 9 of 13. He was crazy. Jameer was nice. I think Jameer's pretty firmly taken that spot as our best guard, and
For sure.
we can now rely on him going forward more than ever. Micah was good on D. It was a Jacoby was nice on the bench. It was a complete team effort. Uday, I want to note, is playing some of his best ball of the season. And Jamie said that he was limping coming into that game and almost didn't even play. So to get that level of play out of him is huge. And especially when you look at our matchups, Utah State's plays through a big man, and who's big man in Purdue if we win that. So Uday's going to be massive for us going to the tourney, and it's awesome seeing him play his best ball and be healthy at this point. But amazing game. I was stoked about this win. Just getting that good feeling about the team, which was we were down about, at the end of the year coming off that UCF loss. I think we played some of our best defense of the year, Jamie noted in the Big 12 tournament, against Houston even too. But yeah, that Oklahoma win was awesome and secured our spot for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Jameer because I think he and and Uday, like you said, I think both those guys are starting to be more consistent in how they play. Like obviously we had some really great Jameer moments throughout the season, but I feel like the last couple games, even though there have been some losses, I think he just seems like he's settling in a little bit,
Yeah.
which is huge. You need a point guard that can, you can rely on in March. You just have to have one. I think he's kind of settling in and becoming that guy for them. And yeah, Chuck getting the start was really electric. He immediately made an impact. And I wonder if that's something that Jamie's going to stick with.
Yeah, I asked him that today in the presser. He said, yeah, he ran that lineup because Chuck has been defending
There you go.
as well as anyone, and he keeps saying that he's just gonna put the best five defenders out there, and Chuck is one of those guys. So I see it rolling on in the tourney for sure.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome then. I think that's a good decision from Jamie. And yeah, that was a good game. It ended up 77 to 70, but really it was TCU was in control for a lot of the whole game,
Yeah.
really. Oklahoma made a little bit of a run at the end. But it never really felt like we were there, and
Yeah.
I didn't ever feel uncomfortable about if TCU was gonna hold on. I was pretty sure that they were gonna do enough, and they did.
Yeah.
And it ended up like,
I think we kind of played a little bit like trying to run out the clock a little bit, like trying not to lose almost, which I didn't love to see because I think you want to just keep playing your offense and free flowing, but that kind of hurt us at the end, making it close than it was. But I hope that doesn't become a trend and then we blow some, you know, we've seen us, we get a big lead and then we try to like slow it down and not play the way we're supposed to play as the TCU, as the fast paced team that we are. And then it bites us in the ass. So yeah, that was the only downside really from that game.
Yeah, that is a good point, because TCU is what TCU is. And when they get, we've seen it a lot this year, actually, and it's cost them. We see sometimes when they, you know, they come out and they are themselves, they score, they run, and, you know, they're making shots. And then, you know, they get this lead and they try to be a different team and they're just not. So I don't know if we're going to see a big TCU lead in the tournament. It's possible, but if they do get out to a lead, they have to play their brand of basketball and they can't try to slow it down, because that did almost, you know, affect the outcome of the Oklahoma game. But yeah, Oklahoma had a 1-0 lead like 30 seconds in and then never led again. So TCU was pretty dominant all game. And like you said, Emmanuel Miller was, you know, arguably the best game of the season for him. You know, I think of Georgetown and a couple others that stick out, but that was huge, OU. Especially now that you know how big that game was. His performance was just massive. So big there. And then we'll talk about the Houston game a little bit. It was just really, really tough sledding, kind of what you'd expect when you play Houston. And it didn't bother me a lot because Houston is really good. And I think that when you don't have them at home, it's a whole different dynamic. And, but yeah, obviously TCU didn't look very good, but, I think it was more of a credit to what Houston is able to do to their opponents.
Yeah. Before we get into Houston, I do want to add that Mikey Peavy shot at the end of the half of the OU game. Just shout that out. That was awesome. You know, he has a bad pass to get it back to three-quarter court, and who knows what it would have looked like if he didn't have that shot, you know, once he got closer in the end. So that was probably the play of the tournament, to be honest. I was fired up after seeing that. But, yeah, going into the Houston game, it was just bad vibes from the start. I don't think we had a bucket for 10 minutes. I was fired up to start the game. About 5 minutes in, I was like, all right, I've had enough. But I mean, they were missing layups too. You know, they had
the looks. They got a lot of looks.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like when you play against Houston, and Houston's defense, we've gone on and on. They're one of the best in the country. Are probably the best in the country. When you get looks against them, you have to take advantage. And they had layups. They had threes. They weren't hitting literally anything. Nobody had a good game. I guess Micah, all right, but that was mostly garbage time anyways. But yeah, a 15-point loss to Houston. I think a lot of people were panicking after the game. But a 15-point loss to Houston is not the end of the world. And yeah, it just sucked because we had some opportunities that we should have hit on offense. And it's funny because our defense was good and our offense is bad, like really bad. And that's been the opposite of what we've had all season. That's what Jamie was saying today. He's like, I was actually pleased about the defense against Houston. We just got to make layups. He's like, you know, we've worked on layups. We work on hitting open shots. Like that's what that game came down to. We weren't making anything. And especially I want to point out to you guys that I want to see bounce back a lot. We said Jameer is the best guard, but Avery Anderson and Trey Tennyson, they've been bad recently. And
they've been really bad.
Yeah, they've been struggling bad. And they're going to be massive because our guard depth is not big. Like, those guys will get minutes, and I think Trey has to get minutes, especially because he can stretch the floor as a shooter. But they have to play better if we want to win games in the tournament. And it's – those two are the biggest guys that I would worry about. I would say, you know, when we're getting pressured by guards, because that's been what's been happening to us, and being able to hit threes is Trey's been so good at throughout the whole year, and Avery as a facilitator. Like, those guys will be massive for our success, and they were bad in both games in the tournament. So, and have been bad, you know, down the stretch in the season. So I want to see them get better. But in terms of whole team issues, I don't really put take much out of this game out of just missing shots. And I Eman didn't practice today off that ankle injury. He said he's gonna ramp up Nagata, and I obviously expect him to play in the tournament, but just getting him to be as healthy as possible and then just those two guards playing better, because we're not gonna have that bad of a shooting point. Like, we're not gonna shoot 2 of 20 and 15 of 53 in another game this season. So yeah, getting the guards better and getting Eman as healthy as possible, because that's going to be what drives your offense in the tournament.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the one thing you can take away from the one kind of positive is they rebounded the ball really well against Houston. And that was a point of emphasis that Jamie made after the Oklahoma game. He said that if they wanted any chance against Houston, they'd have to rebound. And they did rebound. So I guess you can find a positive there. They just didn't really take advantage of winning on the boards, especially offensive rebounds. They got a ton of offensive rebounds, just
yeah,
and they couldn't put anything back. They got no second chance points.
Yeah,
so just a kind of a frustrating game, but there's at least that to look at.
Yeah,
have you seen
I think they had more offensive rebounds than points in the first half, which is insane.
Crazy. Yeah, they were getting one like every possession.
Yeah.
Have you seen the times for the games yet?
I have not.
I just got them, and you're going to like them, I think.
What is it?
So on Friday night, you're going to have a good Friday night. We have at 8:55 on TBS is TCU Utah State. That's the second to last game of the night.
God,
last
we're always night. That. We've been that spot against Seton Hall 2 years ago and last at Arizona State.
Yeah, so at 8:55 TCU tips, at 9:05 you're gonna have to dual screen. We have Grand Canyon St. Mary's on the TV.
So I actually don't like that.
I know.
Oh my god, that does
suck. You can't.
I want to put my whole heart in it. I was thinking about actually getting a flight to Indy to get a press pass to that game, but who knows if the Gales on? I don't know. We'll see.
TCU's
but yeah,
got,
that's tough.
Yeah, they got the TBS group, so it's like Kevin Harlan and Van Gundy on the call, which is pretty cool. But
I like that.
Yeah.
No, I do like the Friday night time, because I like when you're able to be safe for the majority of the first couple games. Like, it would suck if you have the first, morning Thursday game and you're out like that. Like, you at least get to enjoy the madness for a first couple of days pretty safe. But
yeah,
no, that happened to me when we played BYU a couple of weeks ago, and it was BYU St. Mary's Gonzaga at the same time, and I was going back and forth the other way, so I guess I'm gonna have to do that again. But
that's a bummer. Yeah,
yeah, I'm gonna be locked in Friday night for sure. We're gonna have to be on 100 that night.
Yeah,
but yeah, I guess looking more at
Utah let's get
State.
Into that.
You want to get into it?
Yeah, go for it.
To the game that will be locked in on Friday night. Utah State is a good team. Obviously, every NCAA tournament team is a good team, but they won the Mountain West regular season outright. And this Mountain West has been one of the best Mountain West of all time, and a league that puts six teams in the NCAA tournament. And for Utah State to win that regular season is massive. They run through great Ozebor, I believe his name is, their big man. He's a Montana State transfer. He's been going crazy. And so that's what I mean when we're going to need Uday and Eman on point for that game. But regardless, Mountain West is a great team, or Utah State is a great team, but I think TCU should win this game. Yeah, I know we're the 19 and everything, but Utah State's metrics aren't outstanding. They're 48 in KenPom, and I believe around the same in net. They are 38 in net, actually. But it's an interesting team, because when you're a Big 12 fan, you don't really watch a lot of Mountain West, and I haven't really watched a lot of Utah State this year. I just have heard of Ozebor as being a outstanding player. The transfers have been outstanding players for many teams this year. It's one of the stories of college basketball. So he's the guy I'm worried about. I know they don't shoot the three that well, so it's a lot of interior. I think that can That's interesting for what TCU does on defense, because Jamie's
Yes.
kind of tried out a lot of different things on defense this year, obviously with our struggles. So just kind of playing interior more, inside out type of stuff could be interesting. Yeah, and Utah State defends the three really well. They team
Yep.
shoot 29% from three against them. So that's going to be tough. Just freeing up guys like, because TCU, a big narrative with them is that they can't shoot three, but they were actually first in the Big 12 in 3-point shooting all year. So that's been one of the biggest ways that they've been successful on offense throughout the season. And with their big men being like Uday missing time and everything, it's been inconsistent interior scoring. So getting E-man inside, you know, that they're and getting Uday looks, you know, the pick and roll and everything, that's going to be interesting. But you know, I'm stoked for this game. I like that Utah State doesn't force turnovers a lot, because that's been a big issue of ours, and their defense isn't exactly elite. So I think we can have success against this team, but you definitely worry about them just because of what they've been able to do in the Mountain West.
KenPom already has it as a 2-point win for TCU. It's 80-78, and obviously, you know, that's not the end all be all, but I would assume probably they're gonna go into the game as favorites. It's hard to know, but Utah State has a really good home court advantage, and I think they benefited from that all year long, obviously. So on the road, they were still good, but it's just a different, you know, who knows what they're gonna do, you know, when they're not at home. They obviously, you said they won the regular season title. They only won one game in the tournament on a neutral site. So in the Mountain West tournament, sorry, on a neutral site. So that could play a factor. But overall, I do kind of like this draw for TCU, especially when they were, you know, there were other options at the 8-9 line. Like I'd rather play them than like a Northwestern probably, or even like an FAU. So there was definitely some scarier options, because I assumed we were going to be on that 8-9 line. And I think that Utah State, while they are really good, and I definitely they're a team that should be taken seriously, I think it's a decent matchup for TCU.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, when we were looking at options, I'd think that, yeah, a lot of teams would have been better. I was looking at a lot of 10-7 lines or and stuff like that, and I think Utah State, like an eight seed is decently high for them, I think. But yeah, I love the point you brought up about that home court advantage, because TCU has actually had a lot of success on the road this year. And Jamie's had a lot of success in tournaments, and we have this year too, you know, getting wins in those neutral site type of games. But yeah, I think that's a huge advantage and an underrated aspect of March, is because you're away from your home court, you're in an uncomfortable situation, you don't rely on what you've been relying on all season and being playing conference teams at your house and stuff like that. When like that's the benefit of losing like games at home, is that you're not relying on home. You can play different styles of games, you can play different places, you can be uncomfortable. That's exactly what's going to happen here, and I think that TCU is going to take advantage of that and end up coming out of the win. But yeah, super interesting game. That's the first game of the line anyways, and I'm definitely going to do more research on Utah State going, you know, going into this week to see exactly what we're going to look for. But I mean, it was the boy averaging 18 and 9.2 on the season, shooting 60% from the field. That's the guy you want to look for. Brown and Martinez are nice guards too, and they're an experienced team that has played some ball together. Obviously, Utah State with Danny Sprinkle. Danny Sprinkle, the name thrown out for a lot of big time jobs right now. That and he's done an insane job with them too. Dixon was giving them a lot of compliments at the presser today. So I'm super interested to see what this game has to happen, but I mean, the last two seasons, TCU's had success in that first round. And as a ninth seed, especially a couple of years back when they took care of Seton Hall pretty nice. So I'm confident for this one. And I'm very interested to see if we win that one, what it's going to look like against most likely Zach Edey and Purdue.
When I saw that, I was pretty excited, because obviously Zach Edey is insane, and one of the country's best players. But in terms of one seeds, that's probably, I mean, North Carolina obviously is a weaker one seed, but Purdue's one that I don't really hate. I think that when you look at like what TCU had to do in the years prior, like the Arizona and the Gonzaga, I think maybe TCU has a better chance against Purdue than those teams. I don't know really why I think that, but Purdue struggles in March like they always have. They never really live up to the hype. And if they can, you know, Uday's going to be big in trying to stop ED if we get there. Obviously, this is,
yeah,
you know, contingent on them beating Utah State. But I really don't hate the prospect of having to play Purdue. I think Purdue's really good. They're a very deserving one seed, but there's definitely an opportunity there for TCU to advance farther than they have, you know, before.
Yeah, and those guards showed vulnerability. Like they made mistakes against Wisconsin, Braden Smith especially, with that foul down late. And when Edie's gone in foul trouble, they've struggled. Obviously, Purdue's like an outstanding team, and it's gonna be an insane matchup if we get to play them. But getting Uday or getting Edie in foul trouble is gonna be massive. Uday, like you said, is gonna be massive. Because those guards are better, like Smith, Lawyer, Lance Jones, they got in the portal. He's been amazing. Gillis, like they're a much more complete team than they were last year when they lost to Fair Dick.
Absolutely.
And it's gonna be an extremely tough task. Like, but if TCU wins the first game, there's the vibes are gonna be high. When vibes are high last time, like, I mean, that Arizona team was amazing too, and no one thought
really
we could beat them, and we didn't, but we were a call away from beating them. So it's gonna be much watch stuff. And yeah, I mean, Purdue's lost to Ohio State and Wisconsin in the past, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, and they're vulnerable to get beat. I think more than a UConn right now. So at least we didn't get matched up against them, and the formula is out there because it's been done before. And we're a better team than an Ohio State or some teams that have beaten them in the past. So it can be done. And if you get past them, you know, you have a Gonzaga or a Kansas, probably. Kansas, a team you've already were a call away from beating, and Gonzaga is not the same team that were last year. So obviously I'm looking way too much behind the line, but there's a path if you can get it done. And I'm just excited for what March can bring, because when you go into March, you believe in every team's believing in themselves. And it's just exciting for the prospects of what can happen.
Yeah. I like that Midwest bracket. There's a lot of really fun teams. And like that South Carolina Oregon game is a game that's going to be really good. There's three Big 12 teams in this, you know, just in this side of this section of the bracket. It's TCU, it's Kansas, and it's Texas. So that's a pretty fun region. And I think in the grand scheme of it all, like you look at it, TCU is capable of beating a lot of these teams. So there's a lot that, you know, it always depends on which TCU team shows up, but at their best, TCU can beat a lot of these teams, which is pretty exciting. So, certainly looking forward to it. This is just the best time of the year. And yeah, like you said, all these teams think they're going to, all these teams are looking at their bracket and their region and saying, this is good. We can definitely get it. But I
like
think
you saw Utah State's probably thinking they got a nice draw with TCU. Like, it's just
for sure.
It's what's fun about this. You got to be optimistic as a fan this time of year, and that's exactly what we're doing.
Do you want to kind of look into it and make some predictions? We don't have to pick the whole bracket, but we can highlight some Big 12 stuff, I guess, and just kind of see where we.
Yeah, I like very quickly, based on gut, filled out a bracket. So what could be fun is going through each Big 12 team and seeing how far we have each team going, if you want to do that. So if you want to start off with maybe lower seeds going up, maybe.
Yeah.
That'd be
like,
better.
Lower seeds, so I guess, like as in.
So I guess start with TCU because we're the
okay,
lowest
yeah.
Big 12 team going in. So where
sure.
do you have the
So,
Frogs going?
so I think we already kind of mentioned this. This is a game that TCU can win, the first one against Utah State. And it's also, I mean, it goes without saying, but it's also a game they could lose. It's a interesting matchup. I do like TCU here, though, just because I think what Utah State is good at doesn't really affect how TCU plays too much, if that makes sense. So I think I like that matchup for them. Now, Purdue is known to lose to bad teams or lower seeded teams, but I do think they get off and they beat the 16 seed. And now it's Purdue TCU. This is where it gets tough. I mean, probably it's Purdue. That's what I mean. That's the likely thing. But there is a world where TCU just gets really hot. The offense gets really hot, and they beat Purdue. But I mean, realistically, if we're gonna do this realistically, probably that's where the run ends. But there's definitely an opportunity for them to beat Purdue.
Yeah. No, I agree. Like, gun in my head, realistic, my prediction is I think we beat Utah State and then lose to Purdue just because Purdue is – they're a lot more hungry just based on what happened last year, and they've been amazing all year. TCU's been inconsistent all year, just straight up. But and it becomes that – I think it's been a successful year if you get a win in the NCAA tournament considering the turnover that you've had from years past.
Yeah,
but obviously we can do it. Gun in my head, I say we win one, lose out, and that's when it turns into the conversation of taking the next step as a program. Because I think we've been on, like, I'm been a massive fan of what we've been, and being able to make it a 3 NCAA tournaments, just to note, is amazing for what we can put on in the future. But I think as of right now, it's still a success. But I think it kind of plateaus of where we've been, the past couple years, and it's probably gonna end up just because of being on that. Like, I would have actually rather seen us being a 10 seed. I like what the committee showed us love, but going to a Purdue, UConn, or Houston specifically is an insanely tough task. Obviously, it can happen, like we said, but yeah, I think TCU is a one win and lose there.
Yeah, the thing to remember, though, and this is, you know, this is no stats, this is no, like, analytics or anything, but Purdue struggles in these tournaments. They rarely live up to the hype. They were hyped up a lot last year as well, and we all know how their season ended last year. So there's something about it. Maybe they have the yips in March. Maybe it's mental. But just when you look at history, they're a team that does lose when they're not supposed to. So maybe you could be that team this year.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So what next? Texas? Do the Texas, they're 7 seed, so they're probably next.
Yeah.
Okay. You go
you
first.
You want to go first? I can go first.
You
yeah.
You do
yeah,
it.
I think Virginia and Colorado State are both kind of weak at that 10 spot. Yeah. And I think Texas has been hot, so I think they're going to win that one. But I think they're one and done. They're one win and done team, too. Because I love this Tennessee team. I think Dalton Kennect is probably the most fun player in college basketball right now. And he's been the fix that Tennessee has been needing. You know, they've been an offensive or a defensive based team that's hasn't had that offensive arc, but Dalton Kennect's given them, and they're a complete team. And I love them going deep and making a run here. But so that's just because I'm high on Tennessee, but Texas is obviously hot, as we've been talking about. You know, they lost Kansas State at the tournament, but that was basically a home game for Kansas State. So yeah, I see Texas getting a win and losing the second round is what I have them right now.
Yeah, I probably agree with you. I think they beat whoever wins and gets that 10th seed between UVA and Colorado State. And then you get probably the Rick Barnes revenge game for Tennessee. I think Tennessee is really good and they probably win this game. And again, like, Texas can win, but I will probably agree with you here and say that they're a one and done too.
Yeah.
All right. Which 6 seed do you want to do first?
You want to go BYU?
Yeah, Sure.
Yeah. I think BYU, again, as I said before, wins the game against Duquesne. And then, God, I think they could very well beat Illinois. As my I have my bracket right now, they're losing to Illinois, so it's a bunch of like, I guess chalk right now. But I mean, Illinois just won the Big Ten, and they have Terrence Shannon running healthy again, and that's just a dude that can kill you. And yeah, so I've BYU another just one win in that sense. What about you?
Just my initial feeling here, and I'll change this a million times, but I have them
Yeah.
beating Duquesne. For some reason, I like it. I like the matchup with Illinois, and I'll have them, just for now, I have them beating Illinois, and that would result in an Iowa State BYU Big 12 Sweet 16 game. That's where I probably see their run ending. We'll get into the Iowa State side of things in a little bit, but I think Iowa State would beat them. And obviously Illinois is good. They're really good and they could beat BYU, but BYU lost to Tech, badly to end their season. But before that, they were playing really good basketball. So I think they can beat who is that? Illinois. And then yeah, I
Yeah.
think they could make a Sweet 16 run there.
All right. I like that take. All right, Tech's up next. I think
Yeah.
I do. I love DJ Burns. They could do it, but I think when they play a team that they don't know as well, and Tech, and Tech's been great, like McCatson's done an insane job. I think Tech gets that win against NC State. But I'm kind of falling in love with this NC State team. Or this Kentucky team. I
Yeah.
think they're exactly what Cal likes in these crazy freshmen, Reed Sheppard, Antonio Reeves, Rob Dillingham, even Trey Mitchell's out there. They got Big Z at center. They got dudes, and I have them going to my Elite Eight in my bracket. So I just think Tech runs into a hot Kentucky team that, if they're firing on all cylinders, like Cal has had them doing at times, then they're a tough out. So I think Tech's one win and done too.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I think they beat NC State. The magical run for NC State ends. But I think that Kentucky, and there's a world where Kentucky just falls flat and Texas Tech beats them.
That's
But
true.
I do like what Kentucky's doing right now. I think they have a ton of talent, and yeah, I think they beat Texas Tech.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. I have, or so what's next? Kansas?
Kansas.
I do think Kansas beats Samford because I
Okay.
think McCullough and Dickinson are back. And when they're healthy, we've said it a million times, that starting five is one of the best, if not the best, in the country. But Gonzaga's hot right now. I know their only losses, their only loss since they lost to the Gales. Their only losses since the Santa Clara lost to like 15 games are to the Gales. Shout out the Gales. But they would probably end up playing each other in that second round, Gonzaga and Kansas. And I think Gonzaga is just I think I have Gonzaga moving on to the 16, so I think Kansas is one win and done anyway, which is a huge disappointment for what Self has built in that standard at Kansas. I just have we've talked about it again and again that Kansas, we've been worried about him, and I haven't been super high on Kansas all year, and I think they just fall flat because they don't have the depth to be able to win lots of games in March.
Yeah. I'm with you that they're one and done, but I'm getting a little crazy here.
You got McNeese?
I like McNeese just because it's Shahadae Wells and they're playing really
Yeah.
well. And I have McNeese State beating Kansas in that second round to
I
move
like
on to
that.
16.
Shahada.
I think Shahadae Wells has Kansas's and Bill Self's number, and there's nothing they can do about it. So and I think Will Wade, like, he's a good coach, and
Yeah.
they have some
He's going
talent
to get a big
there.
time job too.
Yeah, he's about to get a promotion. So
Yeah.
it's crazy, but I think I like a little Shahadae Wells magical little Cinderella run here to the Sweet 16.
I like that. All right, Baylor.
Right.
I picked New Mexico to upset Clemson,
I have that too.
to go to the next round, and I have Baylor beating Colgate that first win. I think Baylor beats New Mexico too. As we talked about, I like Baylor in that round. I have them losing to Arizona in the Sweet 16. Arizona's my Final Four team, or one of them, in that region, and so I think Baylor does like what they're supposed to do, I guess, in the three seed is make the Sweet 16 and drop to the two at that point. But yeah, I think the defense just gets a little lackadaisical, especially with the guards and Caleb Love at Zona. And Umar Ballo is going to be a fun matchup with Eve Misi if that happens in the Sweet 16. So that's where I'd be like going a little Sweet 16 run.
All right, I won't spend too much time on it because I have the exact same thing as you. I have New Mexico beating Clemson. I have Baylor beating New Mexico, although New Mexico is capable of making a run, but I have them beating New Mexico and then losing to Arizona. I like what Arizona has this year, so I'll do the same thing as you.
All right, Iowa State's
All right.
running high right now, and
Yeah.
I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I have Iowa State beating South Dakota State, beating Wazoo or Drake, whoever comes out of there, and then beating Illinois. I have in to go to the Elite Eight. I think they lose to UConn. UConn's my pick to win the Natty. Just it's probably the safest pick at this point, and they're the most matchup-proof team of any team in the nation. The only one of UConn, Houston, and Purdue to win their conference tournament, and kind of leave little doubt as to who the best team in the nation at this point is, and I'm just gonna kind of ride the wave with them. So I think Iowa State makes it an Elite Eight run, which is insane looking at where they were preseason. Nobody thought they could get to this point. So an extremely successful season for Iowa State, and I think they can have win three games in the NCAA tournament.
Insane year for Otzelberger, just a great job. I have the same thing happening, although I have BYU beating Illinois, so I have a Big 12 matchup in the Sweet 16, which would be super fun for this podcast. I do have them losing to UConn, and it's a shame because this is certainly a Final Four caliber team if they get the right draw. And I think if they get any of the other three one seeds, they have a much better chance at getting into the Final Four range. And I think they can beat UConn, but like you said, UConn is the real deal, and I think they probably meet their maker here with UConn in the Elite Eight. But yeah, like you said, insane season for them regardless.
It's also a tough draw. Like, I'll be quick, but it's a tough draw for them because they could have been like, there was talk about them taking over UNC as that one seed, but to get UConn in their bracket as a two is tough because they probably would have picked them in the Final Four against any other one seed. So that's just my take on it. But Houston, the last team, right? I got them going to the Final Four, and then losing to Purdue there. Kind of chalk, but I don't want to overreact too much about what them losing in the conference tournament because Juwan Roberts will be more healthy and they've been so dominant all year. Like, I probably would have picked them to win the Natty if it wasn't for the loss against Iowa State. But again, not overreacting to it too much. I think they beat Nebraska in the second round, then Duke, then Kentucky I have, and then losing to Purdue in the Final Four just because it's just so tough to guard Zach Edey. But I love Jamal Shinn. I think he's gonna cap like be one of those March Madness guys that people gravitate towards and capture the hearts of America. So it's gonna be fun, and I'm riding that Houston wave too.
So right now I have them in the Natty. I have them losing the Natty to UConn. But I do have them making that run. I think they, so I have them obviously beating Longwood. I have Wade Taylor and Texas A&M playing them next. I think they win that game, although that's an interesting matchup. I think they beat Duke. That Marquette Houston potential game would be really cool, but I have Houston winning that. And then, yeah, I have them going all the way and losing in the Natty. I think that some people are going to be really cool on them or cool off on them because of what happened in the Big 12 championship game. But that happens sometimes. And I think that's. That Kelvin Sampson is the type of coach that can get his guys going again. And I see him making a run. I still love this Houston team.
Yeah, no, but the big takeaway from this pod is brackets here. Anything can happen. We could
We
have been
made it.
spot on. We could be far off. So I'm just excited to get to it. We'll have pod next week. Hopefully, a little TCU Sweet 16 preview, but we'll see. But no, I'm excited. I'm just gonna stare at brackets all week, pretty much. So,
I'm just gonna look at them all week.
yeah, but yeah, this is March.
This is March. We made it. Yeah, that's about all we have. Thanks for tuning in. We appreciate it. It's been a really fun year, and hopefully we have a few more pods in us.
Yeah.
Come back next week with you know, we'll have a pod, whatever happens, but
Yeah.
As always, I'm Davis Wilson. That's Nick Giramani, and we will see you next week.
Peace out.